Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Now, one of our listeners on with some information to say 33% of the population are immigrants and 20% Muslim in Malmo, but it's still a wonderfully safe city, says one of our listeners. Well, possibly that's because they have a very in-your-face police force, I suppose. Maybe that's what it is. 083-311-3311. Lots more coming in on Eurovision. One of our listeners saying, I can't believe Fran is endorsing Bambi Thug. Look, all I can say to you is, as a piano player and as somebody who's attempted to write music and stuff over the years, whatever you think about the current entry, I've seen Bambi Thug perform with just a piano, and that's always a great test if you hear somebody play just a piano and sing. So there's no frills, there's nobody to cover you up, and extremely talented with their own music, if that's the proper use of the pronoun there as well. All right, it's time for this.
Local Election 2024 Spotlight on Tip Today.
And joining me this morning is Independent Councillor for the Thurles Municipal District, Jim Ryan. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Fran, and good morning to all your listeners, and thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for coming down to us today. Can we look back, first of all, before we look forward, Jim? I mean, what do you think? What would you say to people that you would have achieved in your term, this term?
This term, yeah. I suppose, starting off, Fran, it's an honour and a privilege to be a county councillor and to be elected, and for the people to put their faith in you and obviously to give you their number one vote. I'm very appreciative of that. I'm 25 years a councillor now at this stage, you know, half my life, you could say. But I love it. I love helping people. I love the cut and thrust of being a politician. And like, I'm that sort of a guy that would like to come up with new ideas, new plans, that I'm not going to be just there for 5 years and just be a yes man. I just want to see things happen. I want to see things progress. And I'm very positive in my attitude. I suppose the number one, success I've had over the last 5 years, because that's the term you're asking about, is, the Liberty Music Festival for Thurles. I'm very proud of that. I came up with the idea of a new festival back in 2022. Following on from, the lockdown and the COVID, I just felt that our businesses in the town centre in Thurles, and I suppose the town itself, just needed a bit of a boost. Add that to the fact that the Liberty Square had been closed for a good while and disrupted with the renovations of Liberty Square. So I approached the county council. I said to them, look, the municipal district in Thurles, would you support me if I came up with a festival, a new festival for the town centre of Thurles? And they thought it was a great idea. And I just want to compliment Sharon Scully, Thomas Duffy, in the county council, Melanie Scott, who absolutely 100% backed the project. And, you know, we have our third festival now coming up in July the 6th and the 7th. Last year we had 5,000 people. This year we're going to have 5,000. It's going to be a sellout again. And they're coming from everywhere, Fran. All 32 counties of Ireland are coming to Thurles that particular weekend. We have a campsite up in Thurles Rugby Club, Thurles Gales, GA Club, the Thurles Crokes Athletics Club, and there's close on 800 camper vans and caravans, tents coming to the festival, and they're coming for 4 or 5 days. They're going to spend money locally, and I think it's just a boost and that's needed for the business people in the town. So I'm very proud of that, to see, you know, so many people come to Thurles, enjoy what Thurles has to offer, listen to the music, no trouble whatsoever. And I suppose that's my number one, how would I say, proud achievement over the last 5 years, that I've managed to bring so many people into the town of Thurles who really enjoy what we have to offer in the town.
The role of the county councillor has changed drastically in the 25 years. I'm sure you would agree. But has your powers diminished, Jim? Because you've spoken to me in the past, and certain decisions imposed by the authority on councillors, maybe without due discussion or due interaction, would you go along with that statement, first of all?
I would, absolutely. And I think one of the biggest mistakes ever made by any government was the day that Phil Hogan abolished the town councils. Yeah. I've often heard Tom Wood on your programme here, and he backed me up on that, yeah. And I agree with him 100%. I was a town councillor and proud to have been a town councillor in Thurles for 15 years. And it was a magnificent council. We had a budget every year of nearly €6 million that we could spend specifically on Thurles town. with nine councillors that would work really well together. And it was a sad day for the country and a sad day for politics and for democracy when Phil Hogan and Fine Gael and the government at that time decided to abolish them for whatever reason. I will never know.
Well, we were told at the time it was to save money, but as it turned out, of course, it's not the case, to be honest with you.
Because people just loved having a local councillor that they could approach. They'd see them on a daily basis walking uptown or driving uptown or going to them at work. And I just think since the abolition of the town councils, I think the workload has increased. The level of powers that we've had previously have been diminished. The CEO or the county manager seems to have more power than the councillors at times. And as you correctly say, there's a lot of stuff that's been imposed on councillors, sometimes at very short notice. And, you know, when we make our opinions known to the executive, we're told, no, you're not allowed to do that by law, legal advice. You can't say this, you can't add that to it. So I would hope that going forward, you know, that there would be review of the local authorities, the role of county councillors.
We've been promised that.
We have down through the years, but I'm hoping maybe, you know, there's in any, you know, in any business or any, you know, say a big company, whatever the case may be, you obviously you'd always have the CEO or the boss, but they would delegate their powers out and give good powers and big powers to the people that they delegate them out to. And that's what should happen with county councillors. We should be delegated major roles and major decisions in the county without being, I suppose, warned, oh, you can't say that for legal reasons and etc., which really diminishes what we represent.
And on top of what we're talking about then, you had the amalgamation, and a lot of councillors have said to me privately and publicly that it really hasn't worked. It's top heavy.
Yeah, it is. You know, I suppose if I go back to the town councils when we were having our meetings, there was nine councillors. You had the executive there, easier to get your point across, easier to make decisions. Now you have 40 county councillors. And look, sometimes I feel sorry for the press when they're there because they're there a long time. It's like there could be something, a topic on the agenda, and you could have up to 40 councillors voicing an opinion on it. And it can be monotonous, it can be repetitive. Sometimes you might even lose the point that you're trying to get across to the executive. But certainly, I look, it is what it is. You have to work with what you have. I would have preferred the old system where you had North and South Tipperary County Council. But look, I've been on the new council now for 10 years and hopefully again for the next 5 years if re-elected. And look, as I said, I'm going to do my best if I get in there. It's not going to hold me back in what I'm trying to achieve. And you have to work with what you have. And, you know, that's certainly what I will do.
What are you hearing when you're out talking to people? Because I know you're canvassing already, but I think you haven't made it to the town yet, essentially, have you? Are you still in the rural areas?
Yeah, about 5 or 6 weeks canvassing now in the rural areas, Fran. Yeah. And
what are they telling you?
It's really varied, depending on the area you go to. Like some areas, it's roads, it's floods that are occurring on the roads, coming into people's houses. Wi-Fi broadband is a huge issue. Something I suppose when I was started knocking on the doors, I didn't realise how big of an issue was going to be in rural Ireland, but it's certainly a massive issue for people with business, people who work from home, and that's an issue that needs to be tackled. And I know there is a rollout of the new broadband for the whole country, but it's really slow and we don't seem to be making much progress in relation to it. That's a huge issue. I'm also getting, obviously, the usual, the housing situation. And you'd be amazed, Fran, like, as I said, I've been canvassing 6 weeks. The amount of log cabins and the amount of mobile homes that are located at the side of people's houses, at the back of people's houses, because the people's children, they cannot afford to buy a house, they can't get a mortgage, they can't get on the council waiting list, or if they are on the council waiting list, they're waiting years. Some cases up to 10, one woman told me her daughter's 14 years on the waiting list. And they've no choice in the matter but to put them into mobile homes.
And I was talking to Seamus Morris about this morning. Do you go along with him when he says that there's just not enough vision? I mean, they were offered, for instance, these containers that were converted into beautiful-looking accommodation, but county councils across the country turned that down as an option.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I know if I was on the waiting list, Fran, I would love to have a house. I'd be loved to be offered a
house.
There's
still that grow out there for your own front door.
It is, yeah. I think, now maybe I'm completely wrong, maybe I've misread it, but this is something new that Seamus obviously brought up this morning. But if you offered, you know, a container, you know, when these containers are a choice of a house.
I made that point to Seamus because, again, you're right. I mean, we've had people that we've spoken to that have turned down up to 3 homes that they were offered. Now, I'm not sure what the situation is at this point. And maybe things are so desperate that this would be taken up, you know?
I'd be like if you look at Thurles, and Shane, you mentioned it this morning, like, you know, the modular village, yes, for the Ukrainians in Thurles, like, it's a fabulous facility, a huge amount of work and money was spent on it. Something like that, I think, may work, and something that we should look into maybe constructing more of them in the short term, I suppose, to help out people that have been waiting so long on the waiting list. Mm. It's fabulous. I was in there, I visited that area.
Yeah, but we could
area.
Do that quickly in Thurles, but we couldn't do it when the demand is there from our
that's
own.
That's a question that needs to be asked of our TDs and our government officials and representatives, because it's really frustrating as a councillor. We get it on the head every day of the week, but we can only play with the cards that are dealt with it. A lot of these decisions are coming from government, are coming from our TDs who support the government, and if they can put in these modular homes pretty quick, as you say, Fran, and I hear every day in your programme, why can't they do the same for our people who are on the waiting list here, the Irish people on the waiting list here? And I know people coming into my office every day of the week looking for housing, looking to get on the council waiting list, even people coming into me trying to help to get a mortgage for them. It's I feel so sorry, it's so disheartening for those people who are leaving my office, you know, almost depressed from the fact that they cannot get a house.
And are you finding young people are leaving the country because...
Absolutely, I have nieces and nephews, they're in Australia, they're in England, over in America. They love it over there. They intended just to go over maybe for 1 year. I can't see them coming home, to be honest with you. They're all highly qualified people. It's not that they're not being offered jobs here in Ireland. They are. But they just love it where they are and they're settling where they are. And I just genuinely cannot see them coming home.
We're losing many of our brightest and best. Can I ask you about Thurles Town? Because a lot of critique... I mean, I know an awful lot of work and investment has gone into Liberty Square at this point, Jim. But there's still a lot of people very unhappy about the situation, particularly the traffic flow.
Yeah, I mean... The bypass for Thurles is something that has to come. You go through Liberty Square on a daily basis, the amount of articulated lorries coming through our town centre on a daily basis, and even the county council, the officials, the road section did a survey of, you know, vehicles coming through the town centre of Thurles, and they counted almost 18,000 vehicles coming through Liberty Square on a daily basis. 18,000. And we're not even in the National Development Plan for a bypass. I mean, you hear a lot about Tipperary Town, and absolutely best luck to them. They deserve their bypass. But I don't hear our TDs coming on your show, Fran, talking about the bypass.
Why do you think that is the case?
You need to ask them that question, because
when
the National Development Plan was announced 2 years ago, up to 2040, which outlines the major capital projects for this country for the next 22 years, which includes bypasses, Thurles is not in it. We have two TDs supporting this government in there. You have to ask the tough question to them. Why didn't they ensure that in return for their votes, for voting for Simon Harris's Taoiseach or voting for whatever minister to be appointed the minister or passing budgets every year, why aren't they looking for the bypass project for Thurles? Now, there is a review next year. And I'm pleading here on this radio station here this morning for our TDs, and particularly our two Thurles Town TDs, you ensure that Thurles is going to get into that National Development Plan for a bypass. Our town needs a friend. And just to finish this point, on a human level, I mean, we've had 5 deaths in Thurles Town Centre over the last 15, 20 years. Pedestrians who are knocked down by articulated lorries and unfortunately have died and killed as a result of it, and one only late last year. Those families deserve better than what we're getting from our representatives up in the Dáil. They deserve a bypass. There was a petition with over 5,000 signatures collected by myself, Noel Dwyer, David Dorn a few years ago, looking for the bypass project for Thurles, and presented to the government, and absolutely nothing has happened since. And we seem to be going down the pecking order when it comes to bypasses. And at a county council level, local level, we've done all we can. We've picked a route. We've gone as far as picking the route for the bypass for Thurles. We now need the money to complete the design and obviously complete the purchase of land and construction.
Jim, there are things that could be done. I mean, for instance, and I found this myself only the other day. If you come in the Holy Cross Road into the square, I'm still confused as to who is the right of way there.
Yeah, you know? I suppose the simple way of looking at it is Liberty Square should be treated like a roundabout. So when you're coming from Friar Street, you have to give right to cars coming from the Supermax side. If you're coming up Parnell Street...
Right, but that's not clear to people, Jim.
It may not be clear, and that's unfortunately is... I laid the blame there with TII. TII are responsible for Liberty Square. I have brought this up, as is other councillors, about the signage. The road markings are very confusing. It should be made more clear, but I suppose what I'm outlining here this morning is the simple way of looking at Liberty Square is treated as a roundabout. When you come from Parnell Street, you have to give right to traffic coming from, say, the fish shop or the Apache Pizza side. So it's just like a roundabout, a major roundabout, even though it might look like one, but that's what it is. But certainly the TII in conjunction with the council, in my view, should make it a lot more clear and a lot more simpler for people as regards who has the right of way.
The footfall in the centres, has it ever recovered from the loss of the post office?
Well, look, Fran, I suppose we've had a number of coffee shops that have opened that are going really well in Liberty Square. 7 days of the week, you see people sitting outside, you see queues of people going in. But then on the opposite side, you have businesses that are suffering. You know, the off-licence there has suffered. Other shops along there have closed down, maybe through retirements and haven't been reopened. And they have suffered, and their footfall has decreased because of the lack of parking spaces that's in Liberty Square at the moment. But in fairness, I suppose, to the County Council, they are trying to allocate more parking spaces. They have purchased a bit of land at the back of the Parnell Street car park, which will now be converted to extra car parking spaces. They are looking at other town centre locations to see can they increase parking spaces. And, you know, I suppose the one good thing to come of all this, we had a recent traffic survey and a traffic plan carried out by independent consultants. And I suppose this goes back to the issue of traffic and safety in Thurles Town Centre. They have recommended the removal of parking from Parnell Street in Thurles, which I've been fighting for I actually went back there the first time I raised it was 14 years ago. And I think that's going to be a huge help.
None of us, particularly if we're not from, can understand why that hasn't been sorted so far, Jim.
Well, it went to five votes at council level. Five times it was defeated. Now
is that because of the influence of business people on
I don't know
on
what it is. I spoke to business people and residents of Parnell Street, friend, because on five occasions I voted to take parking off Parnell Street. And every one of them, bar two, have told me they want parking removed from Parnell Street. So the majority of residents and business people along Parnell Street wanted parking removed.
Right. Is that, just before I let you go, is that one of the things you'd be looking for?
Well, it's going to happen because bylaws will be brought in next year to allow parking to be removed. But first of all, the council have to construct those extra car parking spaces in Parnell Street to compensate for loss of parking along Parnell Street. So at long last, it will be removed and bylaws will be brought in to reflect that. So after 14 years of fighting, Fran, it's something I can look back on and say, look, I fought for it and it happened and I'm glad it'll happen.
All right. Jim, good to see you today and
thanks very much, Fran.
We'll take a break back in just a moment.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.